You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
Right, we're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up north in Ariya, down south Eilat, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review. Check us out, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you get that into your list of podcasts if you want to know about Israeli sports. Also, check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. For the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew, we deliver it to you in both languages. We are the only website that does so. If you're a Hebrew speaker and if you want to learn some Hebrew, join Moshe Halichman's great WhatsApp group. Gives you the latest on the second basketball updates. We get it from the teams. We give it to you immediately. It's all in Hebrew. Check that out. Join the WhatsApp group. We have a lot going on. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Jerusalem, Hapoel Tel Aviv. Lots of stories, coaches, players, who's coming, who's not, what's going on, everything we have here. And we bring on Moshe Halichman, of course, the head editor-in-chief of the Hebrew website. How are you doing today, Moshe?
Doing well, especially after a good Deni Avdia performance. There's so much Israeli basketball to talk about, and the success of Deni is part of it.
You know what? Let's start with Deni Avdia for a minute, all right? Luckily, the game started at 5-something a.m. here in Israel. It's a fast day on Friday, a rare Friday fast. But you got to see Deni in, you know, from beginning to end, which is rare because most times in Israel, the games are starting 2 or 3 a.m. Here, it was a good start because you were able to eat. Did you eat something at 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so that's why you're not hungry right now as well. Before the fast started, got to see Deni Avdia. Let's talk a little bit about Deni. He, you know, over the last 10 days or so, he started off well. The team's not very good. He kind of looked like he was like, you know, I don't know, his numbers were kind of suffering. They pick up a win against Portland, and he comes away with a double-double, had a good performance, Moshe. Talk a little bit about what you saw in Deni.
Yeah, so it was a classic Deni Avdia performance. He doesn't do stuff he doesn't know to do or that he's not good at, which is mainly shooting threes. Yes, there was an improvement at the start of the season, but recently it's not going well, and he only shot one free, but when he gives so much other stuff, then it's fine. He gives also rebounds, also defense. Also, he got fouled a few times and had a season high of free throws. Also, his rebounds was a season high and first double-double this season. And he really gave a lot of stuff, and more than anything, it was his passing ability was just excellent, feeding Daniel Gafford mainly. And Deni also was good in the money time. He had one bad turnover, which really could have led to another miraculous loss of a Wizard somehow, but at the end of the day, he was there. He had an important basket after an offensive rebound. He had more rebounds in the money time, and it was just good seeing Deni playing like that after he had a few bad games, and especially after this week. I had a podcast with Pini Barel, who's maybe the number one guy for Deni Avdia content. If you're looking for more stuff about Deni Avdia, then Pini is the guy, so I'm happy everything connected for Deni this game, and hopefully it'll continue like that.
Yeah, got to hear Pini Barel as well. It was a great podcast. Somebody you should check out on YouTube. He has tons of stuff. What's the name of his YouTube channel?
Sport Be'echut Gvah, which is high-quality sports. Sports in high quality.
All right. I can tell you what's not in high quality is the Israeli Basketball League, and we have breaking news here. So before we even get to Maccabi Tel Aviv, the Minhelet, the league, is upset. Maccabi Tel Aviv apparently are not bringing any foreigners back for their two Israeli League games, Saturday night against Hapoel Haifa and Monday night at Hapoel Be'er Sheva. The first game that they played in the league, we should remember, they did have Israeli players. They had, I think, three or four of them came back. Four of them came back, I believe, right? For the game against Bnei Herzliya, they won easily. This time, it seems the foreigners are not coming. And we're going to have to see what's going to be with Maccabi Tel Aviv going forward with that. But the league in itself, you know, really, they have, you know, they're to blame here. Ultimately, they start in the league. We don't hear anything from the heads. The chairman gives quotes to this place and that place, but there's no press conference, no public official statement given by the chairman. We don't hear anything by the the CEO. That right now it's an interim CEO, Ronnie Cohn. We don't hear anything from him. Like, I don't know. What do they expect? Players don't want to come. They had, you know, there were missiles into Tel Aviv on Thursday. I get it. We also have now Alexander Djikic, head coach of Apollo Jerusalem. He decided not to come due to personal reasons. We don't know what those personal reasons are. But, you know, on and on, there are all kinds of, you know, issues. The league can't expect that. Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to bring foreigners. Now, on top of all that, Maccabi Tel Aviv wants to cut the player's salaries by something 10-15%, and they're not happy about that. And Wade Baldwin apparently is injured now also, so he wouldn't be, you know, he wouldn't be playing regardless. I mean, you know, the league decided to go back to play, the Israeli league, that is, decided to go back to play without a real plan. They end up having a meeting that they put out to the public last week that, oh, we're going to have to see how we're going to do the games. Well, they should have thought about doing the games beforehand, not now, as the season and the games are continuing. I mean, Moshe, I mean, the league has got to get themselves together here, have some consistency. The product has not been good. I mean, you know, it's been fun to see a lot of Israeli players, but when you see all the Israeli players leading all the statistical categories, you know, and there are foreigners playing, you know that the level of the foreigners are just not good enough to be playing in Israel in a lot of cases. Now, the Leumit League's not playing with any foreigners, and the level has been fine, and it is what it is, and that's fine. The same thing with the women's. But, you know, every team has a different story here. I mean, you got to give Galil Young credit. They beat Kiryat Atta, and they're only playing with, you know, two foreign players. And I take full credit, Omer Silverio, that James Feldheim brought in is amazing. Yeah. I think he's great. We saw glimpses of that last week against Apollo Jerusalem, but it's clear that this guy can play basketball, especially in this league. But, like, let's be honest here, folks. Teams are trying to pull themselves together. Then people are saying, oh, well, there's going to still be teams that are going to be relegated. Come on, get your stuff together here, guys. Really, Moshe.
Yes, so I think the league, the question that needs to be here is, where were you when Hapoel Jerusalem came with a squad that's just not what Hapoel Jerusalem should play with in a league game, and did it twice in two league games, and the league only commented after the disgrace happened, and suddenly
Which, let's remind everybody, they didn't bring any other foreigners back. They brought the Israelis. They signed a couple players off the street here in Israel to play, in essence. And then some were released, some were playing. Storm Moore and Joe Alexander, that's what they did. And the league didn't say, you know, so they already set the precedent right away. And that's fine. That's their right. And that's Maccabi Tel Aviv's right if they couldn't get any foreigners to come. That they can't expect it. Personally, I think it's crazy that Maccabi Tel Aviv is even considering playing in the Israeli league this year, because they have 34 EuroLeague games. No other team in Europe comes close to that. I mean, the only team that has anything near right now is Hapoel Tel Aviv. They're going to have a total of 18 or 20, whatever it is, 18 games. I mean, but Maccabi Tel Aviv is playing 34 EuroLeague games. They don't want to keep coming back and forth to Israel. I get it. I understand it.
Yes, and what's amazing is that Maccabi's Israeli players, to be honest, they're pretty much better than almost all of the foreigners around, and they should be able to handle these games, especially the upcoming game, Hapoel Haifa. I don't think there's a question who's the favorite, even though Maccabi won't have foreigners. And obviously, there is a bigger story here with Maccabi Tel Aviv, probably cutting the salaries, and Maccabi Tel Aviv do have responsibility to the situation, and their fans are going to see not the squad they wanted to see, and it is a problem, and Maccabi definitely could have managed this better, and it's not surprising that the foreigners are unhappy with this, with Wade Baldwin leading the way recently. So, but obviously the league first of all, has responsibility to what happened. Maccabi saw Hapoel Jerusalem make a joke of ourselves, and Maccabi also believes they could win the game, at least against Hapoel Haifa, and rightfully so, without foreigners. Then Maccabi's going to do this play, and the league shouldn't be surprised. So the league reacted too late to what happened. If they would have stopped Hapoel Jerusalem's plan on time, then the situation would have been much better, and they wouldn't even got to a situation like this with Maccabi Tel Aviv, and Maccabi Tel Aviv maybe wouldn't consider to cut salaries down, but stuff weren't done on time, and this is the result.
Bottom line is, the league is to blame here, nobody else. They were disorganized, they didn't know what they were doing, in usual fashion, and the league looks bad. I mean, I can't blame the teams. The teams are looking out for the teams themselves, and rightfully so, Moshe.
Yes, definitely. And now the story's getting even hotter with Hapoel Jerusalem and Alexander Djikic not coming back, and Filip Mihailovic and Endur also staying in Serbia. But, you know, the damage was already done, and the second Hapoel Jerusalem had their first move, and from there you just can't go back, and now you have Maccabi and Jerusalem again aren't coming as Hapoel Jerusalem should come to a league game, which is with a serious head coach. So, you know, like I said, the damage was just done, and it wasn't stopped on time, and it's not going to suddenly stop now.
No, it's really, listen, the whole thing is just, again, this is a league-wide problem, and they're not handling it properly. They're trying to sell a product to people that aren't going to buy it. Now, there were people, you know, they had decent attendances in some of these games, and they let some people in because now they're allowed up to 5,000 in certain areas of the country. And, you know, there were people, and it's fine, and it's nice and dandy, but the quality of the product is just subpar. I mean, let's be honest. We were at the game last week between Hapoel Jerusalem and Galilion. It was a subpar game. They fought, they this, they that. You know, we can make things up as we go along, but it was subpar. Look, Eilat against Hapoel Tel Aviv, I was at. Eilat battled for a quarter, and it was a brutal game afterwards. The league, and, you know, the fans came because they're Hapoel Tel Aviv fans, and they're loyal. The league can't keep putting out a product like this. The product stinks, and you're not going to fool anybody. And you know what? The proof's going to be in the pudding. How many people are going to be in Yad Eliyahu Saturday night for the Hapoel Haifa game? How many people are going to be there? They're allowed to have probably roughly 4,500 fans because they need some for other, for the players, this and that. How many people are going to be there, Moshe?
At least a few hundreds or even a thousand less than that, obviously. But I think Maccabi fans really want to go see the players and a young guy like Omer Meyer, and they'll do what it takes, even though it's not too attractive.
I think the fans would much rather see the likes of Lorenzo Brown and Bonzi Colson than Omer Meyer. I hate to break it. I mean, it's like, you know, the people like us, we want to see Omer Meyer, right? But Omer Meyer, let's be honest right now, he should be playing. I mean, I know he's this age, that and that, but he should really, you know, he could play in the, I mean, he's going to get his minutes now in the Israeli league by default, but like, he should be playing in the Lumit, right? I mean, that's what we're seeing in Lumit. We're seeing guys that are like 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old, 21 years old that wouldn't have starting roles. And it's been fun to see the Lumit league, to see these guys play, Moshe.
Yes, but the second you have Ben Saraf playing in the league, then obviously it's totally good that Omer Meyer is also playing. But like you said, in normal times, Meyer wouldn't get many minutes in the league. He would maybe play garbage time, maybe a few minutes here, a few minutes there. But this situation is just totally different than what we're used to. And it's not only in Maccabi that you see young guys playing. It's like you said, in Eilat, there's a bunch of guys there and in other teams, and the level is just not high.
All right, Maccabi Tel Aviv, they had two EuroLeague games this week. One, they won against Baskonia, 89-81, in a less than thrilling performance. And then they lost to Red Star Belgrade, 98-92, and their former coach, Yanis Feropoulos. Listen, the Baskonia game, Maccabi did not play great, okay? Let's be honest here. They did not have a good game. Their star players were nowhere to be found. Lorenzo Brown with 2 points. Wade Baldwin had 10 points, but he was not even 10 points worth. You really saw the stars coming off the bench. James Webb, 17 points. Roman Sorkin, 14 points. 17 points. Anibo, who's a starter, but doesn't always get, you know, he was named one of the MVPs of the round, even. He's 17 points, 11 rebounds. 12 points for Bonzi Colson, who didn't have a great game, okay? They beat Baskonia, who, other than Marcus Howard, and Vanya Marinkovic and Taras Dzekeris have not much more than that. They move up to 9-6. Then they go to they play against Red Star again in empty Pioneer Arena. Red Star is a team that comes in at like 5-10 or whatever it is. This is a team that Maccabi Tel Aviv should easily beat. Okay, I don't care who's coaching it. I don't care who's playing on this team. Red Star Belgrade is not a good team, okay? They, and Oded Katash can say to the end of time that they have some great scores and they have this and that. The bottom line is Maccabi Tel Aviv let Milos Teodosic at the age of 36 carve them up for 27 points, 14 assists, had a PIR of 40. He's going to be named player of the week unless something crazy happens. Even if something crazy happens, they're going to still give it to him because you don't see those numbers, A, from anybody, B, from yet a 36-year-old that is, you know, obviously a superstar, but his day is, you know, still there. And I wrote a whole piece about Teodosic at 1, 2 in the morning, and I really recommend you reading it. It's great. I of course, I'm going to be biased. It was a great piece. I don't know if you read it yet, Moshe. Maybe I'll print it out for you before Shabbat. You know, Joel Bolenboy, 20 points. 12 points for Mike Toby, 16 points for Rokas Giedraitis, and they dominated everything. Maccabi Tel Aviv played zero lick of defense. Nothing. They didn't play defense against Baskonia also. And Oded was saying, oh, yeah, you know, it's okay that we gave up 50 points in the first half because it was 49-41 after the first half. It was okay because I knew we were going to win. That was, you know, that was really excuse. Then we heard Oded Katash say after this game, well, you know, listen, they were hitting hard shots and Teodosic did this and we tried and we played hard and, you know, we this and that. You know, do me a favor. Maccabi Tel Aviv did not look good in both of these games. Let's be honest. Let's just be honest here. I mean, you can't give up 51 points. You gave up literally 50 points on average in the last two games. How are you winning a EuroLeague game by doing that? Now, Lorenzo Brown with 20 points, Wade Baldwin with 22. Those points are fake points because they all came late in the game. Fake. Josh Nebo, 18 points. Okay, fine. Tamir Blatt at 11 points. But there's nothing here. There's nothing even to talk about. At the end of the day, Maccabi Tel Aviv plays no defense. John DiBartolomeo, you know, has been hurt with a groin problem. He's supposed to come back at some point this week in the Israeli games. You know, he's desperately missing. Antonius Cleveland, they should have had him on maybe Milos from the beginning of the game. I mean, like glued to him. There was no defensive game plan. I mean, Maccabi Tel Aviv, you look at the numbers from outside of the arc, Moshe. They were 15 for 33 for 46%. I mean, they at one point were like 9 for like 11 or 7 for 11. It was crazy. I mean, Milos hit, and you know, Oded said they have to give them credit. And you know, listen, Oded speaks he spoke very nicely, gave a lot of credit to Yanis Varopoulos and all that. Let's be honest, Red Star Belgrade is not a good team.
Yes, and obviously Red Star are an okay team, but when there's so many other good teams in the EuroLeague, then it's one of the worst teams out there. But Maccabi just have serious problems. One is against Red Star. Maccabi have problems for years, and it's just not changing. And because of Red Star are just fighters. Every game they'll come to fight. They're never as talented, but
we fight until the end. Even Katash used it yesterday. We fought until the end. I was like, oh my God. Was that like, you know, did he do that on purpose? Like, you know.
So Yanis Varopoulos is just perfect for this club, except the derby problems for now. But Maccabi Tel Aviv, it's not only that they have problems against Red Star's defense, it's mainly because they don't defend themselves. So the second you play a physical team and you don't do the same, and it doesn't matter that you're more talented, then you're in big trouble. And another problem is that the old players somehow always perform against Maccabi Tel Aviv, these EuroLeague legends that are still good but not at their best. And Milos Teodosic did so, and Nate Dror has an article in Hebrew about that, and obviously about other stuff in the game. And it's just interesting to see how each time Maccabi Tel Aviv just finds a way to give up to these legends, Bellinelli, Teodosic.
We're experts at doing that. Maccabi Tel Aviv are experts at doing that. Yeah,
definitely. So all of those guys just know how to perform against Maccabi Tel Aviv, and Maccabi Tel Aviv, they need to find consistency. They really need to buckle themselves going forward, because it's just not looking good enough. And even when you have a game of hope, then comes a bad game right after that.
Yeah, and Maccabi Tel Aviv has Žalgiris coming up. Maccabi Tel Aviv right now sit in sixth place, a 9-7 record, which is fine. You know, it's okay. They're going to be in decent shape. They're in the game. You see so many teams at 8-7 and 7-8. I mean, you look at here between fourth place at 9-7 and 13th place at 7-8. You're looking, it's all jumbled together. So Maccabi Tel Aviv is still in it. The one thing that we also didn't mention about the Maccabi foreign players is that it seems that they also, the team, I think, is allowing them to go back to the States to celebrate Christmas with their families. Yeah. And that it was understandable. Probably that was something that they worked into their schedule from the beginning anyways. So, again, the league really has to take a good look at themselves here right now. A really good look. Apollo Tel Aviv, they bring 160 war-affected people, people that have lost parents, people that have lost siblings due to the Hamas massacre, or soldiers. They brought people that were former hostages. They brought families of current hostages to Belgrade to play in the Stark Arena. They saw their team, Apollo Tel Aviv, beat Venezia 100-81. Venice was the better team for most of this game. They're winning 47-41 at halftime, and then all of a sudden, Apollo Tel Aviv turned it on in the second half. They didn't want to disappoint anybody. Xavier Munford was terrific. I mean, he was just fabulous. 25 points, 5-for-6 from three. John Holland, all of a sudden, ding, ding, ding. There was talk that he was going to be cut. 20 points, 4-for-4 from three. 18 points for Kyle Alexander with 11 rebounds was spectacular. Bart Timor, 13 points. Jalen Horde, 14 points. A magnificent performance, and that was without Moshe Tomer Ginat and Jacoban Brown. Jacoban Brown just had surgery. He's going to be probably out for at least a couple of months. Maybe even more at this point.
Yes, Apollo Tel Aviv this season are just winners. They find the way to win any game against a team that's in their level or under. And it's really amazing to see each time. And John Holland, what a week he had. He performed against Eilat, and he gave this amazing game against Venice. And that's an important key. From a player that was going to be cut, he's now an important part of his team. And when you have John Holland play like that, then you're in really good shape, because the other superstars are always there, like Munford, like Horde, like Alexander. Angola's not always good, but he would still give it all on the court. And Baltimore was just excellent. So Hapoel Tel Aviv are really, it's a super team what we see.
And a good word to the owner, Ofri and I. This guy understands how to manage a team. He's done everything right from the beginning here. He gets it. He is not going to allow the bad elements that sometimes we see out of this team, like when they booed the police at that ceremony in Beersheba. He is not going to put up with that. I mean, it's clear. He leased a plane. He put these families at five-star hotels. It must have cost them $250,000 to do this. But I like what I see. I like what I see. I think he is going to take his time to make certain changes, but he has grand plans. I mean, you can see from some of his tweets that he would love to see them have an 18,000-seat arena. I don't know if they can fill it every game. Maybe they could. But Apollo Tel Aviv, they look like they have a winner of an owner in Ofri Yanai, and he looks like he's going to be with his team, and he just seems like the right person to clean up some of that element, but to also take the team to the next level, Moshe.
Yes, Ofri Yanai is doing just an excellent job, and Apollo Tel Aviv, even with that bad error of how the fans were booing the police. So Apollo Tel Aviv as a club managed it well. In the past, they would just leave it quiet.
But that was because of Ofri Yanai. That was because of Ofri Yanai. Nobody else. That was because of Ofri Yanai.
Is just doing a great job, and it came all from him. Also, the story of reacting right to the disgrace that happened with the police, and also now just doing good for people who went through very hard times. And Ofri Yanai is just managing Apollo Tel Aviv excellently. And look, we see other owners for now in the league, or how other teams are managed, and also big teams. And I think Ofer Yanai is doing a better job. You know, maybe they don't have errors like what some of Hapoel Tel Aviv fans did against the police, but how the situations are managed is just Ofer Yanai is a level above.
Yeah, we also have to say that every team has their own differences. Like a team like Maccabi Tel Aviv has huge expenses this season because they're playing in Belgrade and they're based in Belgrade now. And they have so many games in Belgrade, not just 9 or 10 games in Belgrade. They're going to have, you know, basically 17 games plus. you know, so me, you know, there are things that some owners can do and have the financial ability to do. Some don't. Matan Adelson, you know, brought with a number of fans, or I think 25 families to the last two Hapoel Jerusalem games in Belgrade. That's good for them. And we should say they won 97-68. They'd already finished in first place in their group and they're into the play-in round. The round of 16 with a Tenerife, and then they're going to have two play-in qualifiers in there from there. Levi Randolph, 29 points, was just unbelievable. Brinton Lamar, 14, 11 points. Those Blazer, 10 points for Kadeen Carrington. Levi Randolph was just... I mean, this is a Levi Randolph that we thought they were going to see when they signed him before last year. Not the guy that was, you know, that, you know, averaged 15, 16, 17 points. But this is the guy that's carrying the offensive load, is doing a great job, Moshe. Levi Randolph is just a special player.
Yes, what a season by Levi Randolph. Like you said, he just upgraded himself this season. Every game, he's doing an excellent job. In every moment, he could score the big basket, and he gives so much other stuff, rebounding, assists, defense. Levi Randolph is just a perfect fit for Hapoel Jerusalem, and also he spoke very well after the game about Jokic, about Jerusalem, about his time in the team for now. And the power rankings of Champions League have Hapoel Jerusalem first place, and they use some of Levi Randolph's quotes there just to say how Levi says it all. And it's really good seeing him play like this. And I think he even got 3 points cut off, because if I'm not wrong, it was 32 points before, and now suddenly Levi has 29 points on this game. So I don't really know exactly where were the points they took off from him, but in any case, he leads the Champions League in scoring like he did two seasons ago, and he's just phenomenal.
Now we have to get to the coach. He did not return with the team. All the foreigners other than Morrison Dur came back, including Speedy Smith, who was not here for their league game. They're going to be now in Israel now for about a month before they play their next Champions League game, because they're already into the next round, and there's a play-in round, which we'll get to shortly, that Hapoel Cologne will be playing in. Aleksandar Jokić and his Serbian assistant, one of the assistants, or, you know, whatever staff member, did not return due to personal reasons. Now, you know, that's what the team issued. Is it more than that? Is it less than that? I don't, you know, really know the answer. I can't really say. Jokić, we got to speak to after the league game against Galilion, and the press officer Roy Cohen said no questions about the situation with the war, just stick to basketball. So they kind of cut those questions off at the pass. Anytime we tried to get, you know, into that, Jokić was like, oh, I'm writing a book, you'll read it in the book, so I don't really want to say too much about it. The question is the book going to be written with him coaching a different team within the next few weeks, Moshe?
That's a very good question. But like I said before, if Ofer Yanai and Hapoel Tel Aviv, then Hapoel Jerusalem are just not managing the situation good enough. If it's when they came with a very bad squad to the league games and lost both games and lost by 40 to Hapoel Afula, or even if it's now, the team says Jokić is out, so fine. We understand it's complicated and we're not going to judge Jokić on what's going on, but the club itself needs to take a decision. Are they a serious club that's looking to go to a league game with a real coach? Or are
Shaiol Larchuk's not a real coach? He was in a year coach at Himmelfarb High School. Okay, no, but seriously, we're talking about a head coach that has coached as a head coach in you know, in a professional league.
Yeah, so I understand Hapoel Jerusalem who are saying, yeah, we'll sacrifice a bit the league games and we could win the BCL with Jokic and we can bring some of the fans to there and give them a good experience and do good stuff for the community. But another question needs to be asked, do the fans really want to be 100% associated with a team that part of a foreign workers on it are just not maybe
foreign workers
maybe not going to show up for Israeli games and to be in Israel? I don't know how much fans would connect to Jokic winning the BCL and maybe not being in Israel. I don't know.
I think the fans don't care. I think some fans don't care. I think they want to win. But the question is, the whole BCL situation is sad. Why is it sad, Moshe? Because they're not playing the games here. So it's like strictly a foreign competition, and they don't officially allow fans in. Yes, they brought with families, but that was it. So the fans can't even fly there. It's too far. The security situation is they don't even allow fans in. So the only chance to see them is here. I mean, it doesn't matter, honestly, who's on the sidelines. With the foreigners, the imports, and the Israelis that they have, they should win almost every single game. They have a big test against Hapoel Tel Aviv coming up on Sunday. And, the real test is going to be seen between the band standing on the sidelines between Shai Larchuk and Danny Franco. I mean, let's be honest. And Danny Franco has oodles and oodles of experience. That's going to be the difference maker. It's not going to be the players, because the players in both teams are fairly even. I mean, you're talking about good Israeli squads, good foreigners. That's going to be the difference. Against 99% of the teams in the Israeli league, Jerusalem could roll over them with the roster that they have here.
Yes, but again, I think that it's just you're coming not as Hapoel Jerusalem if you come to a game without the coach Alexander Jokic, and they'll need to decide what they want to do with this on the long term. Again, there are some fans unhappy with Jokic, and Jokic doesn't owe them anything. He can make his decisions, but the club also needs to make decisions that are good for the club. And obviously, Jokic is a huge success at Hapoel Jerusalem, but they need to think very well if the sacrifice here is worth it and if the community would really connect to this. Because I'm not sure how much it would excite people, Hapoel Jerusalem winning the Champions League with at least a key worker or two not being in Israel all season. I don't know. Obviously, we're early. It's early on, and Hapoel Jerusalem said that only in the upcoming games or upcoming weeks that Olarchik and Yannakopoulos would coach. But that sounded like something that would be longer, and it's not going to be just for a few games. And Matan Edelson has here a big decision to make. And with how things are managed for now, then I don't have high hopes for what's going to happen.
Robbie Keane, Maccabi Tel Aviv. Despite everything, he's back here coaching in Israel. So it's interesting. Now, one team that made a decision to make sure they'd stay together is Hapoel Holon. Hapoel Holon decided that they weren't going to play the game of having some players here, some players there, and they let Amin Nawaw go, which, well, understandable. No issues. I on a personal level, I really would have loved to see him play. I was excited to have him here. That, you know, it was so awesome to be there at the airport the day that he arrived. He was treated as a king. But they decided to keep everybody together. Big advantage. However, we saw Amit Scherf, who is a really, we'll call him a rookie head coach, had some rookie errors in the last couple of weeks. And because of that, they ended up losing 75-74 to Bursaspor. The referees weren't good. I understand that. If they would have won, they would have finished in first and they would have gotten the bye, Moshe, into the round of 16. Instead, they have to play in the play-in against Ustend, a team that they should defeat. They should win that series against them. However, there's talk that the first game is going to be in Hungary, the second game is going to be in Ustan, the third game is going to be in Belgrade. I had some crazy talk that they can't host them in Belgrade. I don't even know what's going on with that. Hapoel Cholon, listen, Sean Dawson has been great. 17 points in that game. 16 points from Justin Smith has been unbelievable. Hans van Wijden, 11. CJ Harris, 11. But let's talk about the guy that is no longer on the team. Nick Johnson, 26 minutes, 2 points, 1 for 11 from the field. The guy was a disaster. His contract ended at the end of the group stage, and it was not renewed. I mean, he was bad. I mean, it was a disaster. He was awful in that game. And I don't even know what else to say. I mean, like, you know, was this the right guy to sign? Was it not the right guy? We saw him in Israel. He played well in the games that he played here. You know, I don't know. Maybe he was just having a bad shooting day, whatever it may be. But we also saw if there would have been a coach with a little more experience, they probably win this game. Now, even if they won, not necessarily they would have gone up directly to the round of 16. It was only because that Rio Breogan defeated Bonn, surprisingly, in overtime, that Cholon had the chance. So you win some, you lose some. They're going to have to put it away. They're going to have to sign a new guard. Niv Mizgov has been hurt, their captain, and they need him back. They missed him desperately. Moshe, Hapoel Cholon. So there's some good, some bad. They're learning as it goes along. I don't think they're in the worst situation. I'm sure they would have loved to have made it automatically through. Not the end of the world. I think it was, all in all, a learning experience for the head coach in this situation. They all know that this was a missed opportunity.
Yes, it's a big miss by Hapoel Cholon. And Nick Johnson is a very interesting topic, because like you said, he had a bad shooting night, but coming into Cholon, he wasn't known as a good shooter. And interestingly, and Akos Sago spoke about this fans podcast of Hapoel Cholon, and they said interesting stuff. One of the opinions was that even in such a bad game, Nick Johnson still had a positive efficiency rating and a positive plus-minus. And he did give other stuff, rebounds, assists, defense, and that was a bad night of his. And he also, he got fouled by an offensive foul of Cholon's opponents late in the game, and that gave Cholon a chance to still win the game. So he does do stuff that can help the team win, but again, he didn't impress us in the BCL, in Israeli League he did, and I don't know what's behind this decision totally. We know his contract was only until now, and it could be that maybe he's just not interested in the situation of being in Israel, but it more looks like the club decision not to continue. If they have a better player, yeah, then sure, it's a good decision. If no, then Cholon being without another player now is not a good idea.
I mean, I wonder if the team had mentioned to him already that if they went through, they weren't going to keep him before the game. I hope they didn't say that. I doubt that they did. I can't believe that they would tell him that. But, you know, maybe they did. Who knows? And maybe he just, you know, put up a bad performance. You know, you never know what's going through these players' minds when they go out onto the court. Let's take a look at the Israeli League here for a minute. We'll go through quickly the scores. 95-81, Hapoel Galilion over Kiryat Atta. You have an article about Ben Saraf in there. 96-85 winners, Hapoel Be'er Sheva over Hapoel Eilat. Nes Ziona, 86-74 winners over Ramat Gan. B'nai Herzliya, 101, Hapoel Haifa, 90. 92-72, Kiryat Atta over Be'er Sheva. 112-76, Hapoel Tel Aviv over Eilat. Jerusalem, 81-73 winners over Galilee. It was never that close, so that was a fake score. And then Hapoel Tel Aviv just clipped Nes Ziona 97-94. We have a bunch of games coming up, with a big game on Sunday being between Hapoel Jerusalem and Hapoel Tel Aviv. The only European game coming up, Moshe, will be Maccabi Tel Aviv and Žalgiris. And any final thoughts on the basketball? I'm going to let you go at this point. Just let everybody know where we can find you, and I'm going to go solo on the soccer update.
I think there's also a Hapoel Tel Aviv Euro Cup against Hamburg Wednesday. But yeah, you could find me, Mo Blue Line, on Twitter to follow all of the tweets and the articles. Everything is there. Like you mentioned, also the WhatsApp community, download our app, And also my podcast with Pini Barel about Deni Avdija is available on Spotify, Hachit Beropa, which means 9th best league in Europe. So you could find all of that stuff.
Are they the 9th?
So right now, definitely not. But over the summer, they did improve in rankings of websites. But now, obviously, not really.
All right, Moshe Halichman, thanks so much for joining us here. I'm going to go solo here on the soccer results going through here. There was a double, double match days this past week. So there was a lot going on over the week. The big game, Maccabi Tel Aviv slipped by Hapoel Be'er Sheva 1-0. Eran Zahavi with a goal in that game. Maccabi Haifa overwhelmed Ashdod 4-0. Dean David and Franci Perot with braces. Beitar Jerusalem blanks Maccabi Netanya 3-0. Netanya fired their coach Ron Kushuk after the game. They've not been playing great this year, but Yardin Shua opened up the scoring over there. Timothy Muzi doubled the advantage, and then Adi Yona scored the final goal. Hapoel Haifa and Bnei Sakhnin drew 1-1. Hapoel Haifa, one of the better teams this year, near the top of the table. Hapoel Tel Aviv, they blanked Maccabi Petah Tikva 2-0. Ran Binyamin with a goal, and Liad Ramot, youngster, also with an insurance marker over there. Bnei Reina, they've been great this season. They slipped by Hapoel Petah Tikva 1-0. With a Freddie Vargas goal. And then finally, Hapoel Jerusalem, which has been disastrous. And they only have 5 points. They finally picked up their first win. 1-0 over Hapoel Hadera with Or Roizman scoring the goal. And that was the midweek round of games. Maccabi Tel Aviv, earlier in the week, they defeated Netanya 2-1. Again, Eran Zahavi, difference maker with a game-winning penalty. Maccabi Haifa defeated Hapoel Haifa in the Derby 3-0. Lior Rafael, of course, coming back to Israel, he scored a brace in that game, and it was a good showing from him. And then Beitar Jerusalem Sakhnin with a 1-1 draw. As Amir Berkowitz gave them that point in the 90th minute, so they had to come back and grab that point at the death of the game. Be'er Sheva overwhelmed Maccabi Petah Tikva 4-1 in that game, but Be'er Sheva is having a rough season so far. Hapoel Tel Aviv with a win as well, 2-1 over Bnei Reina. So Hapoel Tel Aviv under Borja Lema is starting to pick up. Michael Valkanis, of course, the former head coach, moved over to Ajax and is working on the staff there. Paul Hadera slipped by Hapoel Petah Tikva 1-0 with Tamir Glazer heading home the lone goal. Ashdod blanked Hapoel Jerusalem 2-0. Ravid Abrujil with the first goal, and Ebenezer Mamata with the second goal over there. So there's, lots of action in Israeli soccer. We're going to see these double weeks coming in. We're talking about double week in the EuroLeague. There's double week soccer on and on and on here. This week itself, this weekend, we have a slew of games coming up. 5 games on Saturday. Hapoel Tel Aviv, Hapoel Petah Tikva, Hapoel Haifa hosting Maccabi Netanya. Bnei Reina welcomes Hapoel Jerusalem, Ashdod and Sakhnin at the port city. Beitar Jerusalem, Hapoel Be'er Sheva. That should be a good game. That's the primetime game on Saturday night. On Sunday, 2 games. We have Hapoel Hadera hosting Maccabi Haifa, Maccabi Petah Tikva with Benny Lam as the head coach, hosting Maccabi Tel Aviv. In the midweek, there are a bunch of games as well. On Tuesday, Maccabi Netanya, Ashdod, Hapoel Jerusalem, Hapoel Tel Aviv, Be'er Sheva, Hapoel Haifa. Then the next day on Wednesday, we have 4 games. Bnei Sakhnin, Hapoel Hadera, Petah Tikva, Derby. Maccabi hosts Hapoel Petah Tikva in that game. Maccabi Haifa welcomes Bnei Reina. And then a big game, the game of the week, really Maccabi Tel Aviv and Beitar Jerusalem playing there as well. Fans are back in the stadium. They are allowed up to 5,000 fans. So that is good as of right now. We'll see, if things stay calm. We should see more fans being allowed, in the upcoming weeks. But yet again, it's going to still take some time until we see people returning to the grounds here in Israel. But, again, exciting that there are sports with fans again. Lots of action, lots of fun, lots of things going on here. We should mention Barak Bahar was relieved of his duties as head coach of Red Star Belgrade. The Israeli is now a free agent. My guess is he's going to sign somewhere in Europe. I'd be surprised to see him come back anytime soon, but who knows? Maybe after Israel doesn't make it through to the European Championship, they may hand him the job. He was rumored and, I don't know if he officially interviewed, but there definitely were discussions of him taking over the national team before Yossi Ben-Ayun became the sports director and Alon Chazan was the head coach. So Barak Bahar may wait it out and may take that job, because that's definitely something that he may want to take. He's still young. So, you know, people say the National League is a graveyard for coaches. You know, we're talking about a guy that's in his early 40s. In his case, it won't be. Maybe he has a chance to do something special. Does he want to go to a national team situation right now? That I'm not so sure about. I don't know if they want to do that. I'm not so sure if he would want to make that move at this point in his career. He may want to wait a little bit, but we shall see, as they say. With that, I want to wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Also, if you're still fasting, if you're fasting at all, have an easy fast. We hope that our soldiers will be safe in Gaza and in the north, as we are consistently and constantly attacked by our enemies here in the Holy Land. Make sure you check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages. That's it. Just really, sign up, get onto the WhatsApp group if you want to, check that out in Hebrew. Sign up to our newsletter. It comes out once a week. We don't, overextend into your mailboxes. If you want to make a donation, you can do that also before the end of the year to sportsrabbi.com. We are a 501c3. So you want to check that out as well. Everything that we do at sportsrabbi.com is free, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver to you things in both languages, the only website that does that in the land of Israel. With that, I want to wish everybody Shabbat Shalom from Jerusalem.